Praise and thanks be to the Lord. It feels so good to sing to His glory, and if one's heart is fully in it, then it will surely come before the throne of grace of our God. Everything we do must be done from the heart. We have understood that we have to be in the matter, because the more time goes on, the closer the coming of the Lord gets. And we want to be found ready on that day, as we have also read it in the text from the Epistle of Peter, that in the last days this salvation shall be revealed. It will be revealed. The only question then is whether we were ready to enter into glory with the Lord. And this ministry, through all the preaching, is to help, to ensure that we are ready on that day when the Lord returns. If we have not achieved that through the preaching, then I don't know where it could have been achieved. God has indeed so wonderfully revealed Himself and His Word to us by His grace, that it cannot be because of Him, only because of us, because of the faith we have to operate. All things are possible to him who believes. But it is impossible to please God without faith. And that is why we want to receive every word we hear in faith and count on the realization of what has been said in the Word. And then it will come to pass. This afternoon, I want to quickly call two brothers. Well, I thought there is a precious passage here in the Scriptures. I opened it up, and here we see a wonderful incident. Here is a man, a captain of the host. Naaman is his name. He was, maybe I should read a bit, then it's probably better, from 2 Kings 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. I think in this passage we find that a misunderstanding has taken place, a complete misunderstanding. Certainly, the king was right. He had no authority. But God, he had his prophets at that time. It was probably Elijah or Elisha who was a prophet in the land at that time. And we see the girl gave the right instruction. But what matters is that the instruction is followed correctly. That is what matters. Not to run to the wrong, but always to the right place. And I thought it was a special grace, even in our day, that when we seek, that we seek what is right, that we seek until we find what is right. Here, this man, he was very willing, and who would not be willing if he had such an illness and then wanted to get well again? Who would not want to get well? But we see what happened. And then we read further, when here this king was so upset, and then it says, and it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Yes, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Paphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he says to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Isn't that wonderful? I think, dear brothers and sisters, we can also learn something from this word. People always have their own ideas of how God should act, how men of God should act, and how it should be, rather than taking it as simply as God does. For God is in simplicity. This man was expecting something. He took a good step, the first step. But then he already put his own ideas in the forefront. Brothers and sisters, all of us, we must put our own ideas in the background and put the Lord's instructions in the foreground. Then all will be well. We see it so clearly here. See, he was angry because it was not according to his will. That may be the fate of some, and so it happens to some. And so also many a man is provoked to anger when he wants to get something going of his own accord. But look, a man of God, he just said very simply, or just had it said, not even come out himself, but go and immerse yourself 7 times, and then it will be done. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't need to be easier than that. But people always want something complicated, always something difficult. If he had had to put down 2 million here, then everything would have been fine. But the simple thing was too simple for him. Also the message in our days is too simple for people. They want something else, something high. High words, high wisdom of the world, to be highly educated, something big. But God is in the lowly, in the small. He came so little, he worked so little, and he entered into glory so little. But praise and thanks, in glory we shall behold him. His name be praised and glorified. Amen. Thanks be to the Lord. We are not worthy of all the words, but you know perfectly well what it's all about. It's not about putting a person in the foreground. We would prefer to remain seated, not to get up at all in order to proclaim the word. On the other hand, God has always spoken through human lips and will do so until the end. We are thankful that he has arranged it so, that we could not invent anything of our own, but we're prepared to receive what he has given and not to mix up again what he has revealed, but to hold it in high esteem and to thank God for it. We have already heard a lot that has been read in the word of introduction. We will now return to it briefly. And also in this text from 2 Kings chapter 5, what a lesson! The girl had clearly said where he was to go. He got the addresses mixed up. That was the trouble. The man got the addresses mixed up. In verse 3, she clearly said and said to her mistress, "Oh, if only my master turned to the prophet in Samaria." To the prophet, not to the king in Jerusalem or anywhere else, but to the prophet. Prophets were in contact with God, and the word of the Lord came to the prophets, and what they spoke, God had said. And we see that this was later fulfilled. And here, when the king now heard that he was to make a leper clean, yes, that was too much, that he then tore his clothes. That is quite normal, because who can comply with such a demand? The prophet did not do it either. He gave the instruction received from God, and in following that instruction of God was the healing. Beloved, this is the key. Not prophets and not apostles, not men of God, but God himself was able to act where people followed the divine instruction that had gone out of the mouth of the man of God. That is the whole mystery. That is the work of God on this earth since time immemorial. And if a man does not have the word of God, then he should remain seated, because then he really cannot serve and help others. The matter, as Brother Rus mentioned, was very simple. At first, too simple for this high man. And he said, when it comes to rivers that I should bathe in, Our water is purer than the water here in Israel, in this Jordan. But God had ordained the Jordan for that. And God had ordained the prophet for that. That was the way of God. And only in the way that God has appointed can we experience God. And it can happen to us, just like it happened to this man, that things are too easy for us. You can, I've said this before, when you talk to people about the ministry of men in this generation, everybody knows that Roberts could talk very well, Osborne could do it too, Tommy Hicks even better, and many others. But when it comes to asking, who really had the word of the Lord? Then we come to the one point. It pleased God to take the simplest of the simple, to be able to speak through him. And I tell you, the way of God has not yet changed. It remains to the end that only those who can submit to the divine instruction, submit to the divine command, they will be helped. The others will go their own ways. Naaman was angry at first, as it is written here. But there were reasonable people around him. And also this is very important. Tell me who you associate with, and I will tell you who you are, says an old proverb. What matters is that at the right moment we are with the right people who God can use to say the right words to help us. You understand what I mean? In a certain or specific situation where we ourselves do not know or cannot do anything else, we must have someone whom God can use to give us the right instruction. First, it was the girl who gave the right instruction that the man had misunderstood. And then it was the people who had now come with him, namely his servants. And they were then able to tell their boss the right thing to do. In verse 13, we read, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean?" And then it says in verse 14, "Then went he down to the river Jordan." So, the anger had subsided. The servants told him, "Look, the man didn't ask anything difficult of you. Let's just go." "All right," he says, and he went into the Jordan, immersed himself seven times, and behold, his body was clean as that of a little child. So simple are the ways of God, but they cannot be made otherwise as God has ordained them. He could have traveled 40 years and more and not been healed. One journey to the right place, according to the instruction of God, brings healing, can work miracles of God in those who follow the instructions of God. And that is the great lesson for all of us these days. We know that everybody is doing something, not just us. And I hope, as I have said it a few times before, that we are not just doing something, we want to let God work. And I tell you, if I didn't know that we are a part of the divine plan of salvation now in this generation, not just preaching, but being a direct part of the divine plan of salvation, I wouldn't preach anymore. I wouldn't stand to string people along and fool them and end up with them disappointed. But I know it as God lives, that now in these days he is bringing his work to completion, and that we are not involved in just something, but are part of the thing of God, are a part of what God is doing now. Surely that is a world of difference. I have told some brothers who were also in Manila from the USA, but they belonged to a denomination. By the way, they were also baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and so they have some things in common with us. But they are organized, boss here, headquarters there, and so forth. But one of them asked me, I would like to know more about the ministry of Brother Branham. And he said, my father was in Phoenix in the meetings and saw and experienced what God did. The others didn't seem so enthusiastic about it. And then, when the conversation was over, one of the others asked him, did you get the answer you were waiting for? People wait for an answer. Sometimes it is different from what they get. But he could say, oh yes, the questions I had have been answered. God still has people on this earth. And I then told the brothers plainly, I said, brothers, I am not interested in my program, and I'm not interested in your program. I only have one interest, to know and to recognize the plan of God for my time and to be a part of the divine plan for this time, or to be included in the divine plan for this time. This they understood, but they said that we also believe this way and so on. Not only believe in part, but to believe in whole. This is not the time of partial truths. This is the time of the full truth of God. Not the time when this and that is revealed piecemeal, but when the full revelation of Jesus Christ is given by revelation to His people by His grace. And so we know, because of the Word of God, that we are not working on our own behalf or in our own cause, but giving God the opportunity for His true, unadulterated, apostolic gospel restored to us to be carried to the ends of the earth. And believe me, I too have not ordered all these things in this way.
Whoever knows geographically where Gdansk or the district of Gdansk is located, and I may say this here today as a testimony, we were also expelled from there, and we would actually have lived in the German Democratic Republic if my father hadn't just said on that particular day, I'll hitch up again and drive one more day's journey. And then we lived barely a few kilometers from the present demarcation line. The ways of God with His own are unfathomable. I would have lived 10 kilometers on the other side if my father had not hitched up once more and driven another day's journey. But God knew all things before they would be, and He knew how to direct hearts, namely as rivers of water. In the time of my vocational school in Wittingen, yes, just 500 meters beyond ran the border. I saw it that way for 3 years. I know what I'm talking about. We will never understand the ways of God here on earth. But when we look back today, I could never have done the commission if I had been there in your dear land. God has arranged everything wonderfully. I didn't seek it and I didn't want it, but eternity will reveal that God arranged it this way and wanted it this way, so that not people's opinions, but that He Himself can have His say. That is what matters. Many have spoken about God. Now God wants to speak through the lips of men. He Himself wants to speak. It is not enough for Him that people speak about Him. He wants to be able to speak Himself. And He can only do that where people have nothing to say. Then He can say something very powerful. And such people we may be by His grace. Let us briefly return to the word that our beloved Brother Kupfer read, and then we will conclude this weekend. I have taken the liberty of reading the second verse from 1 Peter chapter 1. Here it says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied." And then in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," and so forth. We all read it. What a wonderful word, especially the last line in verse 5, where it speaks of blessedness and so forth. There it says, "which is ready to be revealed in the last time." We are living in the last time, and it will be revealed that our Lord has gone and prepared the place for us. And when the scoffers appear and say, "Where then is his promised return?" and we have to reckon with it, when we once go directly to the public and proclaim all these things, that there will also be mockery associated with it. And the people will say, "Where are all the things that you believe and that have been promised?" But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He does not want those who are destined for eternal life to be lost, because they still have to be called out. With God, everything goes exactly according to plan, and we are also thankful for that from the bottom of our hearts. Imagine if we had to worry about how everything was going to work out now. What would that be? God has taken care of everything. He is our faithful Father. He is the Lord. Everything is under his control, and he will bring everything out gloriously. And also verse 7, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire," he writes here of many trials and temptations that we face. Beloved, a true child of God will come out even more blessed in all trials when things go haywire. Whatever may come, nothing can separate us from the love of God that there is in Jesus Christ our Lord. On the contrary, to those who love God, all things work together for good. But let us love him with all our heart and with all our soul. And as the Lord says, "He who loves me will keep my word, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Let us keep his word together, confessing him and him alone. I would almost like to correct what our beloved brother Miski said. I know it is very well meant, but I'm not a person who can accept honor. I'm really only doing what I have been told to do. And I am nothing more and nothing less than all of you. When God gives a ministry, he gives it for the whole church, and we have to carry it out, and that makes us no more and no less. But the fact is, some rejoice because of the truth that has been brought to them, and they love the servants of God who have brought them the word. Others gnash their teeth and stone and persecute and do just the opposite of what the one group is doing. And that is exactly biblical. The Lord was set for some to fall, for others to rise. You can't change that. God made it that way. The reason may be different, but God arranges it in such a way that the one who has to bring the word, on him the spirits separate. I have experienced this all over the world, and some go to the right, others to the left. You can't change it as it is. But God makes sure that all who belong to Him will listen to His voice. And I believe that we are as close to the preaching of the Word as is humanly possible on earth. And if God wants to show us more, we are open. If He wants to lead us deeper, we are willing. But please, always according to the Word of God. We are bound to God's Word and therefore free in spirit, ready to serve Him. As we read last Wednesday from our beloved brother, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience better than the fat of rams. God wants to make such people out of us who walk in His ways, who are obedient. Yes, as obedient children of God, serving Him, following Him, each on the place where He is at the moment. Just one more thought here, and then we come to the close. Namely, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. May the Spirit of God succeed today in bringing about joy and peace in us. When peace like a river attendeth my way, then the heart rejoices, that today a worship that could turn into jubilation, coming from our mouth, from our heart, could rise up to the throne of God for all that He has done for us and with us for many hundreds of thousands throughout the world. And greater things than He has already done, He will yet do. He will bring His work to a glorious conclusion in a way that is truly worthy of Him. To Him, the only true living God, be praise and honor, glory and worship, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand and give thanks to the Lord together. Let us perhaps sing a chorus, Just as I am.
Wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm. O, es ist Jesus, o, es ist Jesus, o, es ist Jesus, o, es ist Jesus, nur allein. Ich hab berührt den Saum seines Kleides und sein Blut, es wusch mich rein.
Let us now give thanks together to the Lord, but really from the bottom of our hearts. We owe to thank Him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Brother Rus, will you pray with us? Faithful God, we thank Thee together, O God, for this time of grace. O Lord, we thank You together for these hours of adoration, for the hours to reflect the Word. We thank You, Lord, for our brothers, our sisters, that You bring us together here, O Lord. Lord, You know our longing. You know our desire, O Lord. You know all our hunger, O Lord. You know our thirst, O Lord. Lord, You alone can quench our hunger. O Lord, You alone can quench our thirst. To you be the glory for this, the praise and the worship. Hallelujah. Lord, we see in what hour we have arrived, O Lord. But Lord, we look up to you and expect, Lord, that you will be with us, Lord, and that you will lead us home to the Father's house. Hallelujah. When everything comes to an end, and when the reckoning takes place here, Lord, that we may be with you, Lord, in your kingdom and in your glory. We worship you and we give you heartfelt thanks, Lord, even for these services, Lord, for your precious and holy word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your words shall never pass away. Therefore we praise and extol your glorious name. My prayer is, O Lord, bless all my brothers and sisters. Bless all who have come, Lord, and save still, Lord, what is not yet saved, before it is too late. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.